Hey, Soul Warriors. Have you ever felt like a fraud, secretly fearing that one day everyone will discover you're not as capable or intelligent as they think you are? This is the haunting whisper of imposter syndrome, a shadow that follows many of us, even when we shine the brightest. But what if I told you that this feeling is not a signal of your inadequacy, but a beacon guiding you towards your true power and potential? Today, we are going to dive deep into how we can transform this challenge into a stepping stone for our growth. Join us as we explore why imposter syndrome might be the unexpected ally on your path and how you can harness its energy to unveil the authentic, unstoppable you. Are you ready to step into your power? I just want to start by the number one thing, that it is not you and you are not alone. Mm-hmm. Over 70% of people have this labeled imposter syndrome going on.
And the rest have experienced that at least once in their life.
Right. A lot of people, it can be all the time. And some people, it's just certain things, especially when you know, like, you know something.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I've practiced this. I'm good. I've got it. And then you walk in, you're like, oh, no, I don't. Like, I want to get out of Dodge. And just know that. So two out of three people in the room are feeling the same exact way.
Exactly.
So what if we all start talking about it a little bit more? Mm. And what if we all started like, yeah, I think you did great. I don't see that. But this is where imposter syndrome rears its ugly head. Because when you have this, you can't take in those compliments. You can't really like feel in your body what's being reflected back at you.
Yeah. I mean, you walk into a room and you're like, it just kind of hits you. I mean, I remember one of the times that I felt that, and it was I was at a party, and the person's house that I went to, they're very well off financially. Mm. It was a group of people that were very well off, and then there was me, this little city girl that, you know, came from modest background and all those things, and I walked into this room and everybody was different, the way they dressed. They were of a different culture and all these things. And it was just like, I walked in and I felt like, oh, I don't think I belong here. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like sat back and like watched everybody see the interactions, the conversations and things like that. And then I'm like, okay, I can get down with that. I know a lot about that. You know, and then I started realizing is like, yeah, I do have a space here. Just because they have money, you know, and they're considered of a different class than I am, doesn't mean that I didn't belong in that room.
Right.
Because I did. And I remember like it just hit me the minute I walked in the door. It was the weirdest thing, but I got curious like I always do.
And then you talked yourself through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would imagine that a lot of the people that were there felt some sort of a imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
since it's more common now than ever before.
Right. And it's been common for a really long time. So you're probably like, okay, this is crippling to me. I'm feeling the anxiety or the overperforming, overpreparing, the perfectionism, like all the different things that come in that are just kind of lumped under this made up term from several decades back.
Yeah.
I want to look at definitions first, because if we really look and break it down, then we can understand it. Mm-hmm. Then we can do something about it. So there's a bunch of different definitions, and no, this is not like an official medical thing or a mental health diagnosis. Like, it's not. A syndrome is just the technical Webster definition, a collection of symptoms. So you're feeling anxious, you're feeling like maybe you're not good enough, it's not really anything that's like, okay, I need to go fix this. Because as we always say in Soul Intentions, there's nothing for you to fix. Mm-hmm. You are to gather all the pieces and parts of yourself back together, back into wholeness. And then imposter syndrome magically goes away.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? Well, I digress. I skip the definition because I got excited. The one definition I really liked was written by a Harvard Business Review person. Let me see. I'm just finding her name. I want to get it accurate. It is Jill Corkindale, Harvard business writer. And she says it's a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evident success. So this is where your feelings and your logic aren't making sense. Like maybe you have successfully, you know, performed this running race 80 million times. So you know how to run, you know you've trained for this and you're ready to go. So logically, you know you're good, but you're still feeling that like, ugh, what if I'm not good enough? What if everybody beats me? And what if then nobody cares about me or I get cut from the team or, you know, whatever it is. Relationships is another big one.
Yeah.
You know, they came home late, so maybe, you know, they were with somebody else or they didn't want to be with me because they're sick of me. And you start making up all these stories in your head. So when this logic and the feeling don't match, it's like, okay, what do we do? That's when the ego brain usually runs rampant. And then we go with that and we let that be the driver instead of getting really curious and looking at the feelings like we always say.
A lot of the times the stories that we make up has nothing to do with the facts.
No.
And everything to do with our imagination saying, this is what this person is probably judging me on. This is what they're saying about me. This is what I think about myself. And it's playing that, you know, so that you can feel a certain way. But you're setting yourself up. So when the minute you start to feel anything, and you, because your body will tell you, you just pause and get curious. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I acting this way? You start to ask yourself these questions. I mean, I remember the first time I coached, that was the other time that I felt that imposter syndrome, because I was sitting there so in my head thinking, am I going to be able to serve this person the way they need the service? Am I going to be able to play witness to a shift based upon my coaching with them? And it was just like the entire time I kept saying, what do I have to offer this person? Mm-hmm. And that they're paying me to coach them. And it's just like, wait a minute. I had the first of all, life experience to be able to coach them. Second of all, the education to be able to coach them. And so after a while, I took a moment and took a breath, if you will, during the middle of the coaching session. Like I had them go through like a quick meditation so that I can kind of center myself as well. And just got rid of those thoughts because it's like, yeah, I have a right to be sitting across this person and I'm able to serve them and give them some value and shift their life the way they're looking to shift. And that's when, you know, pausing and really grounding in to your knowing.
And if you've tried that and it's not working, because I've been there and it's just still running rampant in your brain, I dug deeper into the definition. I broke the two words down that whoever invented this term stuck together. The word imposter means false self. So as soon as you really know that, then you know, like, okay, this is my false self speaking. This is the accumulation of all my subconscious thoughts that's speaking. The real me is brilliant and bright and shines and knows this. And if you don't know that, it's because you've been letting that false self run with you. You've been letting that imposter be the leader. And then the second word, syndrome, is actually a Greek word that means running with. So imposter syndrome, in reality, is running with your false self. So you need to do what you can to tap back into that intuition and back into that, like, trusting the universe place. You can build that trust with yourself. If you need assistance with that, we have a good video on the ego versus the intuition and how to work with those. And we'll link that above. You might want to check that out after. So when you're running with your false self, spirit can't assist you. Spirit can't get in because you're not open to that. You might feel like you are because you've done all of the spiritual things and you're doing all the work, but you still have imposter syndrome. It's because somewhere that false self is still in charge. Mm-hmm. So when you make friends with the false self, like, listen to it and question it. Like, okay, I'm hearing you, but is that really true? And then wait for an answer. Okay, I'm hearing you, but I've done all these other things, so I'm confident in my preparation. So I'm going to take control right now. Like, you don't, this is a part of yourself that's speaking out. This is part of yourself that's like in pain and trying to protect you. So trying to just shove it away is just going to make it bigger and badder and meaner. Just like a little kid that's scared, what do? They scream louder. Until they get their needs met and they feel safe again. So imposter syndrome is going to feel like it keeps getting bigger and bigger and amplifying the more that you just try to shut it up. So this is what I'm talking about, getting back into your wholeness, into your soul self, is you're calling back these pieces of you. One piece of this is what they've called imposter syndrome. Name it whatever you want. Mine is Klaus. When Klaus speaks, I listen to Klaus. I talk to Klaus. The more I developed a relationship with Klaus, the less he comes around. I miss him sometime, but not really, because I don't like that crap. Right, right. But this is what we're talking about. What you're typically told is break down your limiting beliefs, which you do want to do. Take a look at how you think. Work on your mindset. You do want to do that. But you want to gather these pieces of yourself back. We've been taught to look at what's wrong with us. And then how do you fix it? It's hard. It doesn't work. And then you just cycle back around.
Right. The fact that we were not taught to look at the parts of us that are working.
Right.
It's, you know, it's a,
this
it's
is
a,
the shift.
It's a miss. It's a true miss, because we're so focused on all the other things that really don't serve us in any way, shape or form, when we should be focused on all the things that we're doing right. Befriend that part of you just enough to be able to understand it, so that you know how to not work from that place, but work from a place of knowing.
Right.
That you have the skill, that you have the right, that you have the ability to walk into a room full of people and not it be a thing like, yeah, I don't belong here. It would be more like, hell yeah, I belong here. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Nobody is like me. Right. So, and we all need to honor our differences.
Yeah.
And
bring
this
your
is
your special sauce.
Exactly.
That's the best part about being who we are. No one is no two people are the same. I put my own flavor to it as she does hers. And that's what makes things, you know, so great, because we might be talking about the same subject, but we're both coming from it from a different angle, mm-hmm. because of your experiences, my experiences, my skill, your skill. And this is what bringing your stuff to the table looks like. Years ago, if you would have told me that I would be sitting here doing a podcast talking about all this stuff, I would have said, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not something that I am skilled to do. Yet here I am, because I have a lot to say and the skills are there, and I'm honoring that.
Right. And we all have a lot to say. We all have life experience. And if we start making it normal to share and to talk about it, then we're all like, oh, okay. We all do belong, because we're all feeling the same way, because nobody's talking about it.
We're all walking around saying a lot of the same things, saying to ourselves, and like thinking, I'm here. I'm doing this all by myself. I'm feeling this way, mm-hmm. all alone. No. The person sitting next to you is probably thinking and doing the same thing. Don't feel like you're alone, because you're not. I think that's the biggest problem.
It is a big problem. And it's also a reason why we're not feeling like we belong, and we're not feeling like we're connected, because we're all so in our head and so in our emotions about all of this, that the energy we're putting off, like when you're sitting in your false self, not really authentic. So you're like, I don't know. Like, I like this person, but I'm not sure, because their representative is here, and whoa, but my representative is here. Neither one of us are being 100% like truly stripped down, vulnerable us, because we've been taught vulnerability is scary and bad. It can be scary, but that's where you find like the sweetest parts of life.
That's where the awesome sauce is.
Yeah. So where is the root of all of this? Because we don't want you just muddling through, because we all have 8 million different limiting false beliefs. Yeah. obviously, again, you're going to muddle through those and you're going to work on shifting them. But what is the root of all that? The answer was actually found back in 1950 by Dr. Carl Rogers. He's like one of the founding fathers of psychotherapy, and he discovered the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then it was squashed. But all the research is out there, and it is totally true, and I want to read it to you so you don't have to search for it anymore. This is why you have it, is because of an underlying flawed belief. Your worth depends on what you do. My worth depends on what I do. Like, your action is not your value.
Right.
But this is how we were taught it, even from a little kid. Like, who's asking, like, three-year-olds, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
And if a little kid just says happy, they're like, oh, that's cute. No, what really, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if you're like, I want to be a garbage man because you think that's cool. And they're like, you know, you get that disapproving, you on automatic judgment, the opinions start flying off the shelf. Like, and then, or I want to be a doctor. Oh, good boy, good girl. Like, you get rewarded for saying you're going to do this action in life. And so then you learn, like, oh, okay, I'm a good girl because I'm going to do that because that's societally accepted.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily what probably that child is going to grow up wanting to do. They would probably want to, like, I don't know, get into entertainment or become an influencer. And mm-hmm. all these things that now in this day and age are considered not as valuable, I guess.
Right.
But yet, people are super successful doing it.
Because you're super successful at what you love.
Exactly.
As you work on yourself and get deeper and deeper in there so that you can vibrate at the thing that matches what you love.
Right.
So if your like law of attraction stuff isn't working, it's probably because you have this flaw that you're tying your action to your worth. This is why you're feeling like maybe not good enough, even though you know you are. This is why you're feeling like a little miss, like I don't belong in this room. This whole belonging piece, the more we befriend the false self and just realize it's a bunch of programs and memories that are just spitting out of us on autopilot and getting back into our bodies, getting back into our soul and marrying all these parts, that's the key to it. Mm-hmm. So understand it's something you've been programmed with, so it's something you can reprogram. It is something that you can shift.
Absolutely. It, you know, I can't help but think that if we stopped taking ourselves, life, so damn serious, or putting value in what other people are thinking or what other people have or what you don't have or what that kind of mentality, if we continue to give it that kind of energy, it's going to amplify itself in your life. So don't take it so damn serious. Listen, you are a bright light.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you believe it or not, it is a fact. We are all here in the brightest forms that we possibly can to experience a very third dimensional life here. But at the same time, our spirit, our wisdom, our knowing, our everything is working within the confines of this structure, our body. Okay. So it has all the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the know-how. And when you sit deeply into your knowing, I think a lot of all this stuff kind of goes away.
It fades away.
Because we are supposed to be here doing what we're wanting to do, loving the things that we want to do. And that's what kind of represents who we are. We are bright lights, period. Honor that.
Definitely honor that. Understand that the voice that you are hearing in your head is just a small, 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 small conditioned part of you that is stuck in a lie. How can you also start by owning and looking for evidence of your worth? Like, I know I trained. I know I studied. I know I showed up. Like, I know, and put all that evidence of you stepping in your power and being in your light in front of you so that your brain starts to get trained that that's what you wanted to pay attention to. That's what you want more of.
Know that you're not the only one feeling this way.
Right.
Because there are people out there. The thing is like, don't be afraid to express it, I guess, is my biggest thing.
Right.
If you're feeling mm-hmm. like an imposter, say it to someone. It's like, look, I'm feeling this right now. Can I just talk it through with you? Kind of thing. Could be whoever. Just so that you can get it out of your system, because you don't want that shit sitting in you.
So when you get uncomfortable and things bubble up, or you're feeling these emotions that you maybe don't like, the bitter part of it, this is when so many people just stop, because they think that that protects themselves. Like, so I'm not going to go try that. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to make myself small, like that false self is.
Don't do it.
And then I'm not feeling fulfilled. I'm getting depressed now. Like, you're just adding on to it. So look for those people that inspire you, that are able to talk about things. Look for the parts of yourself that inspire others. And when they tell you that, they reflect that back to you. Like, you know, thank you for saying that. That really hit me in a certain way. Take it in. Mm-hmm. Watch your body language. Are you just like, no, like shoving the energy away? Or are you like, thank you, I'm so glad. You know, you don't even have to like, oh yes, thank you. I know that was good.
I mean, you can do it if you want to.
You can. But or you're like, yeah, it felt good when I said it too. Or just, I'm like, I'm so glad it touched you or it resonated with you. Practice taking these good things into your being so that you can live from that. Right. Instead of holding away from you, bubbling away, shielding away the entire world to try to protect yourself from something that's going on inside of you.
Yeah.
So you're not protecting anything. You're actually locking in the false self. Mm. And you're not allowing spirit, your soul self, everything to flow in and through you.
Right. Shine bright, man. That's all you can do. Just shine bright. Let all your freakiness, your secret sauce and all that stuff out, because someone out there, and a bunch of someones probably, are looking for someone just like you.
Yeah.
So when that imposter syndrome kicks in, please reach out. That's what we're here for. So please reach out to us, you know, hit us up on a DM and let's process this together, because you're not an imposter. You belong here, and you're a bright fucking light.
Absolutely. All right. Like, comment below. Let us know where you feel imposter syndrome in your being. And then let us know your true self.
Absolutely.
Not just the false self part of it. Because we want to get beyond that story and start telling the story of our true self.
Yeah. All right. Be kind. Peace.
Peace.